you haven't heard from us in a few days because we're actually having to fight our own war at the ground level with the effects that Michigan's governor has had on all of Michigan. So we apologize, but really there are things in the 3D world that we have to take care of. But we have some time today, and we felt that it was so very important to describe to you what we see going on, but more in a spiritual way. So if you don't like listening to us preach to you our spiritual beliefs, go ahead and exit out of the audio for today. Thomas, what is really going on in the world that we're all locked up in our homes and like living in this surreal world?
Everything has been accelerated because of the crossing of the galactic center, which we talked about so many times. And now, basically, everything is percolating. And we've reached, in the Maunder cycle, a solar minimum. So you get to see extreme weather patterns. You get to see earthquakes and floods and just amazing, you know, as never seen before. As a matter of fact, wasn't it just last year or the year before? Hurricanes with 3 and 4 eyes in them, one of them having even 7 eyes inside of a hurricane, or unparalleled amounts of tornadoes in the last, you know, 4 or 5 years. So as we built up to this solar minimum, it means that the Earth is just cooking from the inside out. And that's the reason so many volcanic explosions and activity that we have, and so on and so forth. So it is not unexpected that these type of physical threshold experiences, where you what is normal seems to be absolutely upset because of what we call going across the threshold. We've talked about this before, and when we're asked to go across the threshold, the thing that actually arises for us to think about is the great, what you would call, survivors of previous floods, or even like in Sodom and Gomorrah, how Lot survived a fiery end. And then with all these floods, you have Manu, who was the father of the ancient Indian culture, ancient Hindu in a way. And he literally, the stories very clearly state that he and the 7 rishis were on an island and they left in a boat. And the story is very magnificent. I'd love to tell you the whole thing. But basically, Vishnu comes as a one-horned fish. He ties his rope that holds, that is anchored to the ark, and the ark, this boat, and the holy rishis and his wife, and all the holy Vedas were all pulled by a great fish to the highest peak where the whole rest of the world was flooded. And then they tell the story of Manu descending down this slope of this mountain called the Descent of Manu. And then the books of Manu are what the basic Hindu philosophy, as well as even earlier than that, the ancient Indian philosophy, the Puranas and all of the Upanishads and all the ancient texts speak of this. There's always a Noah in every single culture. And we have been writing about one of them called Scythianos. And he also was one of these leaders of migrations that had to cross in a boat from an island to the mainland of the continent of Europe, and then moved all the way to eastern Siberia, and then migrated all the way back into those areas. And then again, ended up on an island. So these islands are very significant. Now, what is an island, and why are they talking about islands, and what is this boat? And if Noah had an ark, what is that ark? How did Noah stay alive? And does that have any relevance to our time? Yes. We've written articles talking about this and how you can prepare yourself. And this is the moment of initiation, of crossing the threshold. What happens in an initiation? 3 days of death. Well, it looks like we're getting partial death in this initiation we're having with the coronavirus, but it'll be probably 3 months that is kind of a partial death.
Well, also, there's also a 40-day and 40-night, with the ark. So we could look at all these different time periods, but when you and I began our journey into this alternative media world a few years ago, we felt that we needed to create an ark for people who were awakening and wanted to get to the other side of this shift. together. So we did it. We created a virtual ark. And if you've been listening to us, you're there with us. We are all here together in a similar consciousness. And when there's a special meditation, for example, tonight, there are different time zones you'll have to pay attention to, but April 4th and 5th around the world, where we are going to come together in consciousness, together in our virtual ark, to push back and say no to Lucifer, because ultimately that's what this is. It's a time for us to choose as a humanity. Are we going to go the path of the virtues, or are we going to continue on the road of perdition?
And it's not going to be a flood like it was before, but those analogies are good. We have shown you that it is really a flood of the air through electrosensitivity, through electromagnetic frequency bombardment, through 5G, 4G, 3G, 2G, 1G. All of this bombardment through the air, and also even what you breathe. These viruses that we are actually being inseminated with, yes, through inoculations, in fact, these viruses, these flus, these pneumonias, they travel through the air. So we are being bombarded in right now in a kind of global initiation. And we don't know how long it's going to take, but it doesn't really matter. We can look at the normal standard initiation. And really, when you're talking about Noah, that was an initiation. And just as you pointed out, Betsy, they had 40 days and nights of rain, and they had to have their physical ark together. They had to have their ether, what was going to give them life. And so they had these magical substances called sohars, or the head of Adam, called the stone of On, or a holy grail. So you got to find your own holy grail. So your physical body is going to have to weather a storm. Are you ready for that? We warned you this was coming again and again and again, and we told you how to get through it in either psychologically, spiritually, physically. So it's happening. So do not be surprised. This is a global awakening. Some people call it the shift. I would rather call it a full-on global initiation. Nothing like this has happened in the except in ancient past, when the entire segments of humanity have been, in fact, wiped out.
And the other thing is that so many of us have had the veils lifted for all the propaganda and the brainwashing, the programming that's been going on our entire lives. So we're now, for the first time, able to see the world the way it really is. And the other day, I was going to the bank to make a deposit. As I was driving up to the bank, it was a Chase bank. You know, I saw people on the outside of the bank trying to get in. And of course, we all know that they're closed because of coronavirus. So they're trying to get in and they can't. And if the bank has made sure that the only way you can transact now is by going through the drive-through. So they basically shut down operations. And that is what we see. What we're seeing here is a financial meltdown. It had to happen. We've talked about this before, about a jubilee being needed to correct the horrific debt in our world. We cannot continue to do this. You know, for those of you who we kept kicking the can down the road, and we were wondering, what does it look like when we get to the end of the road? Well, folks, what you see around you is what it looks like. Now, it's probably a pretty good thing, though, that the people think that they're being locked out of the bank because of coronavirus, because it would be too much to fathom for a person who hasn't been awakening over these last few years to really know what's going on, to see that our whole world is going to be shifting and changing. The dynamics of how we interact financially with our systems will be changing, and that might be a little bit too much. So if the average person thinks it's a coronavirus, maybe that's not a bad thing, Thomas.
Yes, well, no matter what it is that's causing it, it's causing a consciousness change. Now, back in the early days, I remember the back to land people, they needed to get their ark together, so they wanted to be self-sufficient, and so many of them tried, and I went and visited many of those communities and helped as I could.
Didn't you go to Findhorn?
Oh, sure, I've been to all those places. I was friends with David Spangler and Kathy and Malenko.
Well, many of the boomers will remember this as being their first experience of a group of people that were preparing for something. You know, I was a young person at the time, and I was like, what are they doing at Findhorn? They're preparing for something, and I'm not sure what that is. What is that?
Well, what they were trying to do is come into an association with nature. So they wanted to get the physical together by being independent. They wanted to get the nature together, the etheric, the life, by having these gardens, which eventually became biodynamic-inspired gardens. And then they had to get their astral together, body, which is their feelings and desires and their beliefs. And then their ego could then come to birth there. Well, what happened is they had kind of a group ego birth, and David Spangler became kind of the representative of it and became a very dear friend of myself and my whole group of friends here. But anyway, the point is they had an arc of consciousness that still to this day, you know, brings up, well, what, there was magic going on there. They had cabbages as big as, you know, you can imagine, and these plants grew huge, and they talked to the elementals, and yes, that's all true.
But that was probably more about the biodynamic farming.
Correct. Well, they used a tremendous amount of seaweed in sandy soil. So okay. They had, you know, very huge, what you'd call a silicon reaction in their plants, and they grew huge, which is nice, but it was consciousness too. So what we're saying is if your consciousness was prepared for this, then you physically were already ready. And when you followed the ascend diet, you would have had your water together and your food together, and you'd go on up the ladder until you came to, how do you feel about this? Well, in the past, if there was a flood, whether it be Scythianus or Gilgamesh or Noah, or it, almost every culture has a person who literally survived a flood, and then what they, who was inside, that was all the sacred things they had, their sacred teachings. The rishis had the Vedas, and the rishis were the direct connection to the spiritual world with Manu and his arc, basically. So when it comes down to it, you could say that as far as we know, ancient Indian, ancient Hindu, from these writings of the books of Manu, literally it's called Manu Smriti, you get these stories that are telling us the following. Did he really go through a flood? Or was it a flood of consciousness? Are we really being attacked in the destruction through the air? Well, at one point they told us it was all pollution. Now they told us we have to pay for every bit of carbon dioxide that we put into the air, or any carbon footprint whatsoever. Okay, so, you know, what is this about? Are we really going to die from what comes to us through the air? Well, part of what comes to us through the air is invisible, folks. Temperature of the air, weather, tornadoes, hurricanes, floods, fires. So when we have an imbalance in nature, then you can imagine that the flood would come, and we can imagine how we could react to that physically. But when the flood comes in the air, and it comes as a bombardment of billions of electromagnetic frequencies ripping through your body, and in fact burning it from the inside out, especially your organs and the surface of your organs, how is it that we can fight that? Well, it's the same as it's always been. Are you ready for 3 days of death? Because that's what Christ went through, and that's what we would all go through if we were to be initiated, if we were to consciously go through what is we are being unconsciously caused to have happen, which is a global pulling of humanity across the threshold. Well, when you go across the threshold, it's an initiation. So if you have a 3 days of death, what's going to happen to you? You're going to be frightened. You're going to be fearful. You're going to look at all the bad things you did and worry that if the moment after you die, you do have to, you know, go before some kind of judge, whether it be the Egyptian jackal-headed Anubis, or whether it be Jesus Christ, or whether it be Moses, or whether whoever it is. If you have to call, be called before someone, some force, some intelligent design that holds you to what you have done, we all will pay a great price. So that's what we're afraid of. Who's ready to die? Well, who's ready to stay in their house with their relatives for 3 days? Who's ready to have their businesses? You don't even know whether they're all going to die. Who's ready to say, oh my God, if they close down the fast food in America, many people wouldn't be able to eat because they don't know how to cook and they don't have water, and now they can't even come out of their apartments in places like New York. We are seeing people being taken into a realm of the astral where their fear is being used against them, just as it happens when you are initiated.
We see a lot of YouTubes from people that are very interesting during this period of time, whether they're celebrities or just ordinary folks, because this time has become a mirror. We're all standing still. Time is standing still. You probably don't even know what day of the week it is, you know, because it's a mirror. It's a space and time that you get to look in deeply into the mirror of yourself and see who is reflecting back to you. And I think that's why you see so many celebrities just losing it, because they're looking in the mirror and what they're seeing is horrific.
Oh, yes, because they're not ready for initiation, because their ego, their I am, their personality comes to them from the outside, and they are so addicted to adoration and glamour that they actually believe their own press releases instead of realizing that they're just jerks just like the rest of us. Well, now, when Gilgamesh, from the Chaldean city of Ur, when his friend Ebani or Enkidu died, he was so upset by it, he was two-thirds god, one-third man, that he literally went through this initiation where he passed over the waters, built a boat, passed over the waters to see his ancient ancestor, Utnapishtim. And Utnapishtim said to him, when he got there, Gilgamesh said, I've heard there's the Tree of Life, I need it, and I'm going to use it to save my friend Enkidu and bring him back. And Utnapishtim said, well, I don't know. First, you'd have to pass a few tests, but I will give you the Tree of Life. So he gives him the Tree of Life. He says, but if you want to understand it, and if you want to hang on to it and be able to work this Tree of Life, you need to first off, right now, stay awake for 3 days. Well, he tried, and he failed. And then he decided to just take the Tree of Life, and the whole story is rather magnificent. And it's a perfect example of what we're talking about here. You don't get to fool death. You don't get to trick death. But you can overcome it by doing what? Being able to stay awake for 3 days. Who out there has consciously, in prayer and meditation, stayed awake quietly for 3 days? Well, here.
But you're not suggesting that people do this as a practice.
No, you can't do it. Because if you do, you'll go mad.
Okay, just want to make sure.
Most people who try this, they can't do it. Oh, how about people who fast for 30 days? Well, in one particular path of initiation that I know, that I've participated in, you have to participate by having 30 days of silence. But beforehand, you must do all these oblations. You must do renunciations. You must do get rid of all of your emotional baggage and all of your, what we call your astral, your feelings, your desire body, all the stuff that brings you suffering. You have to get rid of that beforehand.
So whether people like it or not, you being locked up inside of your home under your governor's arrest, it forces you into a position that this is happening.
Yes. We are having a global initiation.
Wow.
Never seen anything like it.
Never.
But here's the good news. It probably saved us from having an axis shift during the galactic, as we crossed the galactic center. It probably saved us from all kinds of things. And now we're having a consciousness shift. And this consciousness shift, if we go through it properly, and if enough people, as we have said, four groups of 12, if there are four arcs out there and you have these 12 conscious people on it, you're actually the ones that are going to hold the earth together.
Oh my, Douglas, as you said that, a vision popped in front of me because I saw you being a midwife, helping us birth ourselves through this process. And you have been a midwife's assistant. You talk about that quite a lot. So you understand the birthing process.
Well, I got to catch all four of my children. And so, yes, I participated in many births. I was at the farm, Stephen Gaskin's farm, where birthing was what they were all about. It was an amazing place. So, yes, I've been at many births, and they are the most powerful things I've ever experienced. Now what we're looking at is an initiation of death. Now, some people are going to die from the virus, but many, many more will die from the flu this year, and even many more than that will die from pneumonia.
And many, many more will die from late-term abortions.
Oh, yes.
So the coronavirus is a convenient excuse to run mass hysteria all over the globe, because we know their globalist agenda is to take over the world. We know that, but we don't have to accept that as the finality. Folks, we can come together in consciousness and shift us into a higher vibration, into a way where we can, as human beings, evolve into spirit self.
Yes, and now evolving into spirit self means you have to get rid of all sense perception and all the thoughts that come from sense perception and actually be able to perceive archetypal virtue instead of, in the world, participate in the seven deadly sins, which are the vices. So what we have here is a chance for initiation for the whole globe, and it was an attempt because America had subsumed and supplanted globalism, and the globalists couldn't take it, and of course Big Pharma, those are the globalists, and they have control of all the viruses that are man-made. They had to attempt to bring down the most successful global activity that was being led by Trump through his populism, through his patriotic belief in the nationalism of America, which is exactly why we have been attacked. And the attack wasn't, we've gone into that, we've told you who did it, why it happened, when it happened, we've shown you this has happened many times before and it will happen again. And the good thing is we will be more prepared for it. But now what we are realizing is many people are not prepared for 3 days, let alone 3 months of this. Now, going back to that initiation, I don't expect anybody to be stay awake for 3 days, but that's a very standard thing. If you're a Tibetan monk and at the highest level, you can be meditating sometimes for awake for days and days and days just to complete a certain practice. And I participated in those things, and it's amazing what happens and the energy that's given when you are focused on positive spiritual visualizations and moral development and the kind of things that actually keep you awake in a sense-free environment, which is what happens when you go across the threshold. You're no longer bound by senses, and if you can't survive in that world because you have created that world from the spark that created that first fire, the candle that you took into that darkness, that arc that you have created, if you have, it's called the shelter or your own little hut in the spiritual world, then you are really going to have trouble during this time.
Long before we became the anonymous patriots and wrote the geopolitical material that most of you out here might know us for, we prepared an environment for a spiritual practice with the three volumes of the Gospel of Sophia, with your book on the wisdom children and a curriculum for wisdom children, because we need to educate our children in a different way than sending them to these warehouses where the globalists indoctrinate them. And we also wrote a wonderful book on the Maidens of the Wells, which is a fascinating story of looking at the history of the Grail through time and connecting it to Sophia and the things that we wrote about in the Gospel of Sophia, and then this exciting book on the etheric that you wrote. So we have provided this for you during these times. You can go back now and begin to fill yourself with the spiritual nourishment that perhaps you were lacking in that modern world that had you going 24/7.
Yes, and in the modern time, that arc is your heart. And your heart can expand to the entire length of the universe. It's as simple as that. And when you're asleep at night, you're in perfect balance between your heart and your breath, 1 to 4. And why is it that we all, when our heart is beating properly, produce the same hertz, 7.43, which is the same frequency that the Earth produces in the cavity of the atmosphere as it spins on its axis? Why? Because our heart is directly linked to the universe. So those people who are feeling hemmed in, well, how about people who go into solitary confinement? Here's what happens. If they are shallow people, they can oftentimes go insane. If there's somebody who has read a lot and has a great deal of thought in their head and in their heart and some strength and morality, many times, some of our greatest spiritual leaders were in solitary confinement or in prison for long periods of time, and they came out without going insane. So some people, when they're alone, have to go insane because they have no self-reflection. Without self-reflection, you cannot be initiated without horrifying fear, and some people actually died in the ancient mysteries when they were initiated because of the fear that they would instill in the person going through the initiation, as part of the growth of their courage and the strength in their I am, in their ego, in their inner personality. But that was the past. So now we don't. The initiation is happening on a global level. It already was before the coronavirus. And that's the reason we've had numerous man-made pandemics, because what one person does in a petri dish in Wuhan, China, or in Perbright Institute in England, or wherever, Fort Detrick or North Carolina or wherever, it doesn't matter. We must have some morality about it, or we get into these situations again and again. Well, isn't that what happened again and again to mankind when culture and civilization was annihilated, and we look back at these cultures and we can barely understand them? We look at even the megalithic culture and we don't even know how they built these megalithic structures, like the pyramid complex, not just a pyramid, but there's a pyramid complex, or the Angkor Wat complex, or...
Well, we don't know these things because our history, the way we have learned it, has been distorted or eliminated. We don't know the truth about our Earth.
No, we don't. Now, we have a lot of statistics, and those megalithic cultures told us about a flood. If you actually read this, the fact that they are mimicking star clusters on the face of the Earth through these megalithic structures, they were telling us about a flood that happened in 10,500 BC to warn us. Okay, they're telling us now that it's on us again. So are we ready for this flood? Well, this is the warm-up, folks. This isn't the real thing. So the question is, are you ready, like Jesus, to go out into the desert to face your demons? Are you ready to look at all the things that you've ever done that were selfish and greedy and slovenly and gluttonous and prideful and hateful and full of anger? Are you ready to look at all that? Because that's what initiation is. The threshold between the physical and the spiritual, or the non-physical, you have to leave behind all of that stuff. So right now, when you went into your ark, if you didn't leave behind out there where the flood was happening, where the rain was happening, where the attack of the electromagnetic frequencies and the 5G is happening, if you didn't leave all that outside of your ark and come into a sacred space, into your own heart, which should be sacrosanct, even if you're being assaulted by no matter what on the outside, if you didn't find that you had a flame that was eternal, an eternal flame, whether it's day or night, to keep you warm and to give you nourishment, which is in the heart, of course, in the warmth of the blood, and if you did not have consciousness, which is usually referred to as the holy rishis, or some sacred books, or some teaching like the teachings of the Vedas and the Puranas, if you don't have those, then the research shows that when you go into sensory deprivation, which is, that's what happens when you are asleep, that's what happens when you die, sensory deprivation. If you don't have something to take into that realm, you're not going to have dreams and you're not going to have consciousness. So the people who had the teachings, those are in fact memory theaters. We constructed one for you, as Tyler just said, the Temple of Wisdom of Sophia. So if you cross the bridge in the glass bead game and you look at the Temple of Wisdom, what you're going to find is one temple, one pillar after the next that shows you in your own self the virtuous aspects of yourself that you're already there in your own organs, given to you by the gods, and now we get to work with them. So what will you find? You will find that once you light up that candle, and you either light other candles or other people join you, that your own body is the temple, that your heart is the sanctum sanctorum. It is the holy of holies. It is the heart of hearts.
That you are the grail that holds the light of Christ.
Exactly. And the grail, what it's usually like a chalice. Well, that's like your heart. And then it's filled with this life-giving substance. What is that? Well, that's your blood when it becomes spiritual and becomes like the ichor or ichor of the gods, like the Greek gods believed that in some of them, they had a little bit of the god's blood in them. And so that's what we get for inside of the grail. But then what happens? You have this light, this luminous warmth, this nourishment. The grail gives everyone what they need, exactly what they need. And also you have the descent of the Holy Spirit, which oftentimes looks like a luminous dove or a bird descending. Well, the same thing happened in the Ark of Noah. With the Stone of On, you have really the Hebrew Holy Grail, because it's described in a variety of ways. It's also called the Zohar, T-Z-O-H-A-R, or sometimes T-S-Z-H-O. So there's a variety of ways to spell it. But this, these stones, call them what you will, these stones, which is what the Holy Grail is referred to also as a stone. Also, the first stories refer to the heart. Inside of the heart is the wish-fulfilling stone. And so this stone fulfills all your wishes, gives you everything you need. And what is that stone? That, of course, is warmth, and it's your ego. It is what keeps you alive. It's the heart. It's the blood and circulation, what the cardiovascular system, you could call it, the blood, heart, and lungs. And that is where the light comes from. And what they're describing in the Ark is, in fact, your temple of your body. And once you understand these spiritual things, which Tyla has put in her second book on Modern Path of Initiation through the Gospel of Sophia trilogy, in there it is described exactly how that works. And it's described in a variety of ways so that you can understand that this is no joke. All you need for your ascension to go back to where you came from. In other words, to be the boat that rises on the water, to be Lot, who is told to leave the city before the fire rains down. You're going to be the one that's saved, the one that's tapped on the shoulder and said, please, step away from that, get off that train, whatever. So these callings, well, you should have already been called. We started our work to let people know that this was coming, and now it has come. And if you were prepared, then in fact, for instance, one of these paths, when you go into the 30 days of silence, that's pleasurable to certain people.
Well, in fact, for many people who are prepared, this is there's a quiet calmness about you because you are in a space that is the most perfect for you at this spot. I mean, for example, we are retired. We've been retired for many years, and our day consists of writing, giving you videos, doing our posting, and it's what we enjoy. We take a walk in the middle of the day, and we love preparing our meals at home. Just very simple things. Well, this change, even with the lockdown of Governor Whitmer on our state, hasn't really changed what we are doing every day. And also, this is a time, if this is disruptive to you, to take a moment of self-reflection to figure out what is your source and what brings you comfort and fulfillment.
Yes, and be thankful that there isn't 40 days of rain and that you can go out into your own backyard and put your feet into the soil. And as you do, believe it or not, you are contacting every virus known to mankind, both extraterrestrial from space and from animals, coronaviruses, every type of virus known. Put your feet in it. It's the antidote. There are many, many antidotes to these problems, but the greatest antidote is consciousness. So when you're in the Ark, it isn't just about survival of your physical body or having what you need, because that's just animal instincts. You have to look at what it is that drives you. What is it that is the core, the light of your life? That you find by looking at your habits. The habits of Americans and people throughout the whole globe, but particularly materialistic Americans, it is the best news that could happen to them spiritually. Sorry to have to say this, because it's also going to kill people. People will die from not only the virus, but from all these horrible things that are happening with the economy. But at the same time, it's going to be one of the first times that we can say all of America is being forced into self-reflection. Now, you can also call it house arrest. You can also call it martial law, medical martial law. You can call it whatever you want. I call it the governor's overreaching their authority. But as far as I'm concerned, it's a good opportunity for people to face the threshold consciously now, because they don't get to run away. They have to face it. There isn't entertainment. There isn't sports. There isn't as the type of indulgences that they got before. And when it comes down to people, well, the most important people should be right there in the Ark with you, your own family. And when it comes down to the fact...
Or not. Thomas, not. Because sometimes family is what you do not want in your ark, because confronting that is, you see, in this moment of reflection, you're seeing the reality of the world you have created. So if you are upset because you're alone in an apartment in New York City and you cannot get out, I mean, why? Why are you there? What has brought you and your life path to be in a place locked up in an apartment in an urban area like that? I mean, that's what I'm saying. Maybe it's because you're a warrior and you need to go out and bring the truth to other people that are in that area. Or maybe it's a time where you'd go, maybe I need a more simple life or something that's more authentic, like farming and providing food on the table for Americans. These are going to be the important jobs as we go forward. Manufacturing our own things, growing our own things, taking care of one another as citizens.
Yes, the Sisters of Mercy and all those who work with infectious diseases all the time who don't get sick. How does that happen? How is it that Mother Teresa, all that exposure to leprosy, never got leprosy? How is it that people work in hospitals and don't get ill when every virus known to mankind is there and in bacteria? How is it that that's consciousness, folks? So the consciousness that someone carries with them to face these things and to acknowledge them for what they are, not be fearful of them, and to still know that human consciousness reigns over the physical. And that's the part that is shocking. And some people, if they are not prepared, they do not have that. They cannot see their little apartment as big as the universe. They can't see their heart as big as anything. They don't understand what it would mean. For instance, I have seen many times people, when they're put into jail cells that are one-person jail cells, they go absolutely out of their mind. So the first thing that I wanted to do when I worked in that environment is to go in there and spend as much time alone to see what that's like.
But you were once...
I liked it.
You were a hermit, and you lived in a cave for many, what was it, many months, or should I, is it years?
It was over years, I would go back to the same
cave. Okay, what kind of monk were you then?
Trappist.
A Trappist. Okay, so you like being by yourself, but maybe Harvey Weinstein isn't digging it.
Exactly. And so the more that you are addicted to these outer things telling you that you are more than you really are, the more difficult this is going to be. And so I like watching the stars, who are nothing more than in the rest, any one of the rest of us. Why should we pay them any more money? Why should entertainment pay them more money for basically being, in fact, vile representatives of immorality?
Well, we the people are paying them.
Yes.
So.
And same thing with sports. I don't see any reason.
But the movie
reason.
Theaters are all closed now. And so now the celebrities have got to be a little concerned because Hollywood is drying up. China bought Hollywood. They are using Hollywood to be their mouthpiece. When you open up Breitbart is a good example, and you see Cher and Rob Reiner and Bette Midler, they're always on the top pages, and you go, why do I care what these losers have to say? Why would Breitbart put them on there? Well, surely they're paying for their space, and surely if you look even deeper, it'll be China paying these stars to put their positions, because the Chinese actually think that Americans are listening to Cher anymore. That's how behind the times that China is, really, with what's going on culturally in America.
Well, that's because they have a shallow interpretation of capitalism and freedom, because they don't have any. And so they get the most shallow people in Hollywood yelling the loudest. And as you say, those people pay. They pay to be on the front page of Breitbart, okay? That's what's going on. We've turned the media into a dog and pony show, and it is now evil, and it is against our own national security.
But I have to say one thing. I don't think I've ever vented on this. You know, when you go to Drudge, I mean, don't go to Drudge, but if you go to Drudge and you click on an article, it'll take you like to a Wall Street Journal article where they have a paywall there, so nobody can go into it to see what's written. I have got news for you, folks out there in corporate media. If you want to be influencers, you have to remove the paywall so people can read your shit.
Yes, and they don't get that, because they're locked into the system. For instance, right now, it would have been the exact same thing, but with Hillary Clinton in charge, with total socialism, having given over to the globalist demands to take all of our weapons from us ahead of time with the UN forces, which has happened in many nations that have been part of the Small Arms Treaty that Obama signed and was never ratified by our Congress, and the Strong Arms City Agreement, same thing. All these different agreements that are UN agreements are to basically take away what we now see is being taken away from us, our rights, the insinuation that we shouldn't have the right to defend ourselves, the fact that bundled executive orders that would have made Hillary Clinton into the queen of globalist America, which would have merged Canada and Mexico into one nation, that was the plan, called NAFTA. That would have already taken place. We'd be in World War III.
Qualcomm would have already been rolled out. 5G would have already been on our landscape.
I want to ask a question, and this is for everyone out there. I'm sorry to have to say this, but you need to think it through. Why are we being inundated with 5G when hardly anybody is paying for the service? Basically nobody. The only country in the world that actually took up 5G was South Korea, and they look what happened with them in terms of coronavirus.
Well, now that we've uncovered this Lieber guy and all of the corrupt stuff they're doing at Harvard with this nanotechnology and how nanotechnology is actually interfacing with vaccines in 5G, now we know what they were really doing.
As well as they're stopping us from breathing. Oxygen uptake, both for birds, bees, animals, humans, plants, everything. Everything that takes oxygen is being killed by these 5G antennas. So we have to realize that it is raining like crazy. And if you are only just now building your ark as you were ordered into your house under house arrest, and you don't understand it, and you're now fearful, and you need to, you're thinking you need a better mask, and they now say it's aerosol, so you can't go outside, and you can't open your windows, and
they've got you just where they want you.
So what is it? That's the grave. So in the initiation ceremonies of the Masons, Hiram Abiff is buried, or the initiate is being in a mock burial for 3 days, supposedly, and then risen from the dead. Well, that's what this is. For some people, this is a condemnation into a coffin. So imagine yourself. The Tibetans say you should think about impermanence 10 times a day. In other words, think about the fact that you're going to die, and what's going to be left of anything that you've done on this earth. That's what you should be focused on. And then, so imagine yourself in the West. If we said, imagine 10 times a day that you lying in your coffin and that they close it and you're dead, what's left? Well, after a few days of lying in that coffin, if you still had some air, you would realize that when you got out, you were going to change your life and you're going to go back and correct some things and you're going to stop being an asshole. Why? Because you faced all those fears when you were looking at the limitations of your physical body and facing death. And if you do not believe in life after death, then that is a terrifying, horrifying moment. And that's the reason that we're seeing people literally take their lives during this time. It's not being reported, but you can bet that many people, psychotic people, people on drugs, have now turned their paranoia on themselves. And this is what would be expected in any initiation. Some people don't make it through.
And it's not cosmologically coincidental that all of this is occurring to us as humanity at the time of Easter.
Yes, and also with the constellations in the sky, we have had Mars go over Pluto, Saturn, Jupiter. So now we have a conjunction in the sky today that has caused people to want to pray and meditate both yesterday and today, I believe. You'd have to straighten me out on that
It's on April 4th and 5th, depends on the time zone you're in. But also to remember that we're just coming into Easter, and every governor out there seems to be locking down the churches and our ability to congregate and worship with one another. But we can use this as a very powerful time in human history to come together in a higher realm, in the realm of consciousness, that for that period of time in Easter, for you to devoutly surrender yourself to whatever your spiritual practice is, to lift humankind to a higher plane of consciousness.
Yes, and as we look at this, it's a reset. That's what the astrological configurations indicate. A reset of authority, of power, of money, of the substructure, and that there's an earthquake. There's a continuous earthquake to all of those things, and particularly exacerbated by Mars, which means that it became quite personal and quite in your face and scary, like an accident, like a wreck, like the lava, like the magma flowing towards your house, getting ready to consume it. So that's what we're facing right now. And as we do, if you're calm and you're facing Easter for what it should be, and let's look at what the ancients would face at this time. They'd face the fact that they're running out of food because their food stores for the winter were had been depleted. All that were left were the roots and vegetables and things that they were able to preserve, the dried herbs and so on and so forth. So had you not prepared, you would die at this time. Just as nature is blooming and the promise of all the plants bringing forth new life, you would die. And it was quite common. And what would kill you at this time? Oftentimes, for the week, they would die of flu. They would die of, basically simply getting a cold. They die of whatever disease there was around. But the point is that in the spring, that's when this would happen. So what did they do? Lent. They basically said, we're going to give up all kinds of things. Why? Because we don't have them anyway.
So Lent is being forced on everybody right now.
Lent is global, and you are giving up whatever your government and insane governors tell you you have to give up. Now, you notice the governors went insane, so they'd get the national FEMA funds, be the first to proclaim a national state emergency, these stupid governors. Trump hasn't even declared the things that the governors have done. And he's taken all the precautions, more precautions than any president in history has ever taken concerning any pandemic, epidemic, flu, virus, any whatever. There's never been a medical emergency that a president took more action on. Now, why is this happening? Because it is the last-ditch attempt to stop Trump from doing what he's going to do, which is stop the globalists from controlling the U.S. national economy through the Federal Reserve, the U.S. stock market, hedge funds, offshore accounts, and all of the illegality that he's fully aware of and that he has been warring against since he came to power. That's why we had the best global economy, not just American economy. For a while, the whole globe was falling behind us and falling behind us.
But it was always their plan to eventually take us down through the economy. They would have done that within months of Hillary being elected. But with Trump, they waited for this particular time and place because nothing else was working. Crossfire Hurricane didn't work. The impeachment didn't work. So now we've got coronavirus.
Absolutely.
And look, folks, it's all being run out of the Queen's business. Now, you can say it's the Privy Council, the Pilgrim Society, and whatever. But the bottom line is this. The companies that created this coronavirus and pushed it around the world, Purbright, Kinetic, Muriel, Lockheed Martin, BBC, you name it. The Queen owns the controlling shares of these companies. If you look at this just from a corporate point of view, she is responsible. And what we need to do is name her publicly all around the world because we want a face on this coronavirus. And I think the Queen's face is a pretty good fit. And we want this to be taken out. Thank you very much, President Trump. And Kash Patel and all the team members there that know what's really going on. We've got to take this out, and then we need to disgorge the British Empire and push around the money all around the world. These people have raped, pillaged, and done horrific things to South Africa, to India, even to China, and we're tired of it. Humanity wants to move forward, and the Queen just has to go. Now, there are other characters. We'll take care of the Pope later, but let's take care of the Queen now.
And it was the British who supported Huawei putting the deadly 5G everywhere, especially in the metropolitan areas that now have become the hotbed for this coronavirus, which makes you have to suspect that they were, in fact, using 5G as the trigger to cause probably nano tubes that had the virus placed in them, because that's what they do. They make man-made viruses and then they disseminate them in any way they can, often through food. And thank you, Tony Fauci, for figuring out that it was through the stomach lining that you could actually attack humans in this way. Yeah, the man leading the National Institute of Health is actually one of the worst viral eugenicists on the face of the earth, and we're following his advice. He wants everything closed down. Why? Because he wants to kill people. The result of this, if Trump can't turn it around, is that many people, as they face their own double, that's what it's called, your doppelganger, your evil side, as you're forced to have self-reflection in a small, enclosed environment, almost like house arrest or even solitary confinement. If you aren't ready for that, folks, then you should have prepared a little bit earlier, because it's a little late to hang on to the ark as the flood is rising. It's a little hard to figure out how it is that you're going to correct the ills of your life because you have followed vice instead of virtue. But this is the most perfect time. This is a preliminary. This is a prefiguring of the war of all against all in the apocalypse. So what happens now is humanity doesn't destroy itself. No, everybody's not going to die. And sorry, this is another weak man-made virus. It's not going to kill the billions they want to kill. It's only going to kill a few thousand, tens of thousands, maybe 100,000, which is actually, that doesn't even touch the amount of people who died of the flu last year worldwide, which, as far as we know, here in America was about 70, 80,000. They won't give us the real numbers. And worldwide, well over a million. And no one says a word about that. So what happens is, this is an awakening, a sheer sad awakening for those who were not prepared. For those who were prepared, it's a time to actually give thanks, to have gratitude, to be very pleased that you have brought the wisdom that you need, that will continue, that you have gathered the seeds of consciousness, just like Noah, that you have calmed all of the animals in your temple, in your body, so that you're not following your lower desires, the animal desires, and that you've got a calm arc and the animals aren't killing each other, and that you have the warmth of consciousness, the warmth of love, the light of enlightenment. All of these things are what will keep your arc not only afloat, but nourished. And when the time comes that you reach the highest peak, because that's what you're doing, right? In this analogy, you're rising up to the highest peak, and in one case being led by Vishnu as a fish, in others by different gods and goddesses or different divine forces. But when you reach that peak, you still have to wait a while. You have to wait for the flood to subside. And that's the part that many people will not be prepared for. Trump will lead us through this because it's a mild virus. And when the hype is over and the paranoia panic has settled down, and many people have changed their consciousness, because this is a consciousness-changing moment. This is the reset, the rebooting of consciousness. And when you reboot your computer, you often get rid of the glitches that were being so prevalent beforehand. We're having a reboot, and this reboot is not going to be, as I said before, an axis change. It's not going to be the end of the world. It's going to be the end of some aspects of institutionalized evil. And that's what we're really looking at, because that's who created this coronavirus mess, and that's who's being revealed. And if you can hold the light in your own personal temple, then you can share that light with others, and that light can then be shed upon the darkness, and we'll see the evil creatures living in the darkness, and we will dispel them by that light. And that is the mission of our new request, that you find your own ark, that you huddle together there with your own family, your own wisdom, and the light and the love wherever you find it, and realize that your heart is as big as the universe, and that there is no limit to what a human being can do, and that in this darkest of time, the greatest of light will come.